Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Praise be to Allah, the cherished sustainer of the worlds.
Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
Most gracious, most merciful.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Master of the Day of Judgment.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
You do we worship, and your aid do we seek.
Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim.
Show us the straight way.
Sirat al-lazina an'amta.
The way of those whom you have bestowed with your grace.
Alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim. Wala ad-dallin.
Those whose portion is not wrath, and those who go not astray. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast. Good morning, this is America Muslim 360. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam. I want to welcome you here this morning. And again, we want to send our prayers and our thoughts out to those in the Haiti earthquake situation and encourage everyone to be a part of giving to the situation to help in the, rescue. Recovery and I guess rebuilding of that particular country. And so we ask that you contact some of the more replicable sites in which to give, one of them being whitehouse.gov. You can contact there. You can also then find a list of other places, another one being Doctors Without Borders. These are all the replicable places. Again, there's many people you may run into, people setting up scam situations. So be careful in where you go and where you decide to donate any money or give out any personal information. The Red Cross is clearly a good place. UNICEF, UNICEF, is another one out of the United Nations, and then Wycliffe the Entertainer has set up another one. If you text YELE to 501501, will result in a donation, and text the word Haiti to 90999 will also result in a donation. So, in any way that you can be a part of the giving, the caring, again, we are our brother's keepers. So, let us be a part of the giving and rescue. And if you want to, clearly, Red Cross, I'm sure, will be our gathering volunteers. And you may be able to even actually be, when I say deployed, to that particular location to help out if it is so your desire to be a part of it, what I call up close and personal. So remember the Haitian people in your prayers, and as you move about your day, just remember that there are people who are suffering, and even when I say very close to us and here locally, homeless or whatever, a lot of people are in dire needs today. So again, this is American Muslim 360, and we're today is a Jumu'ah day. We also want to remind you that today at 12 o'clock, and probably more 12:30, that we will be broadcasting the Jumu'ah from Oakland, California. Imam Fahim Shawade will be delivering the khutbah there. And then on the 29th, right now, we're scheduled to broadcast our Jumu'ah out of Dallas, Texas. Imam Khalid Shahid, inshallah, will be delivering the khutbah. And and we're now trying to get the khutbah, the Jumu'ahs lined up for February, but I think we do have one lined up out of Phoenix, Arizona, inshallah, with our brother Imam Adam Shabazz. Inshallah, we will be having a khutbah from there in February. But again, if you are an imam and or a member of a community, you would like to have your khutbahs or your Jumu'ahs broadcast on American Muslim 360, all you got to do is email us at AmericanMuslim360 at yahoo.com, or you can visit our social page, which is AmericanMuslim360.ning .com. And then you can also contact us from that location as well. And then we encourage anyone who wishes to contact us to use those particular contact information and then reach out to us. Also, our call-in number here at the station is 646-716-4478. And we do have the chat room is also open. Want to welcome again Polar Bear into the chat room and appreciate you. And we will be getting here started right now based on where our conversation here today is on the the 12 divine tools for success. And today we're going to be discussing intentions, self-determination, and kindness. And we're going to begin with self-determination in all. And so just give me half a second here, and we will be underway here. Anyway, here we go. Today is on, I'm going to start with on intentions, because just like most things and all things, I guess, we need to understand our intentions. What has, what motivates us? What is the thing that has our souls, our dedication? What is it that has us dedicated to this particular situation? Whatever it is that we want, we have to understand that intentions are behind it. Whenever we, whenever we do something and what have you, and well, we do welcome you, Polar Bear, and inshallah, we will be hopefully, inshallah, giving some knowledge here today. And we're going to be, again, starting with the things of intentions. First of all, I'm going to read, excerpt from the Quran, and it's from Surah 2:225. And it basically starts as this. It says, Allah will not call you to account for thoughtlessness in your oaths, but for the intentions in your hearts. Excuse me, man. I'm going to work on this throat here a little bit too. But anyway, so we may say, and let's say particularly here using resolutions, we may make a very quick resolution. We may be very quick to say we want to do X, Y, and Z, and that this is our resolution for this year. Well, and then after a while, we give it some thought, and we say to ourselves, you know, we find ourselves maybe mid-January, maybe mid-February, whatever, somewhere down the road, where all of a sudden find ourselves saying to ourselves, you know, I didn't find myself to be that committed to that particular resolution. But at the same time, so we had our, we didn't give forethought to it. And so Allah says that I will not call you to account for your thoughtlessness in your oaths and what you promise, what you say you're going to do, but for the intention in your hearts. What is the intention in your heart? This becomes a very, very crucial point about where we going to go, what we're going to do. This is why it is incumbent upon us to understand ourselves at the fundamental level. What is the intention? What is the purpose behind what we say we're going to do? Do we have good intentions, bad intentions, mixed intentions? Where were we? And this is something that you must begin to examine for yourself about what you see as your role, your mission in life. Where are you planning on going from here? You must stop and look at what are your intentions. This goes, as they say here, to what is in your heart. We don't always understand why we do what we do, but it is important that we seek this level of understanding in ourselves. It is not wise just to go around saying things and never understanding. If you end up in a court situation, people are wanting to know what was the intent of the individual in relationship to the crime. Not just necessarily the crime that was done or committed, but what was the intent of the individual. Did they intend to go there with the intention of killing someone? Or was this just an accidental situation? You know, was it just manslaughter? So intentions are the purpose, the goals behind that which we say we're going to do. So in order to be successful, one of the tools we must use is the that of intentions. So we must begin to form for ourselves not only just to say what we're going to do, but what is the purpose? What do I hope to accomplish? What is the results that I'm seeking here? What do I hope to be the outcome of my moving forward on whatever it is that you have decided that it is that you are going to move forward on? What is that? And so it's in us, excuse me for a second here, trying to get something to happen. It's not happening. Okay. I think we got it now. But anyway, so it's like it is my intention to get up every morning and give you some information. So I also have to understand what is the direction in which I want this information to flow, or what do I perceive as the outcome that we hope to achieve as we move forward. So all of these things are part of the intention. I must understand that before I say step before the microphone. What is the intention? So we want to begin to examine this on, again, a more important or detailed level within ourselves so that, excuse me, Lord. We can actually choose to do the things that are really of importance to us. What is the intention? So, let's start with, what is your purpose? You decided that you wanted to accomplish something in 2009. You said, here is what I want to do. Clearly, a lot of people say, you know, whatever you've decided as the to be success for you, then you've said, okay, so this is something that I have some level of determination to go after. I want to make this thing happen in this period of time. So this is my purpose. I have a determination to act upon and to do it in such a manner, in such a way that it's going to bring about a result for myself. So intentions are the, we've talked about acting, our action, as well as striving or struggling. So intention brings all of those things to bear. My struggle and my actions. It brings those things to bear so that my actions are purposeful. They are not just something that I do haphazardly. I have decided that, excuse me again, there is a direction in which I choose to go and a specific matter in which I've chosen to pursue the thing that I want. So purpose, many of us, we say that we're looking for purpose in life. Then we have to ask ourselves, so what is my intentions? Okay, what is at the root of me? What am I planning to do? What are my aims, my goals, my end results that I choose, that I perceive for myself? There's a saying that says that, Prophet Muhammad says that, a man or woman gets what they migrate for. In other words, if my position, if my intention is to move or to act on marriage, then I will get that which I intended. So understand your intentions before you act. If you intend to act on and become, or you do this, what we call Bismillah, in the name of Allah, if this is your intention to do something in the name of God, then you, excuse me, even drinking some water here is not quite helping in my throat here, but then that's what would be how you're going to be judged on what you go after. The intentions in your heart are that which you say you want to do. So purpose has to do with a very specific and determined act that we've chosen, and somewhat consciously in our hearts, we've chosen this, we've made an assessment, and we decided that this is the intent or the purpose, the goal in which I am going to pursue. So whatever it is that you have said to yourself that you want to happen here in 2010, go back now and take a good look at what is your intention. I say my intent is to lose weight, but yet I find it very difficult for me to enroll in a diet plan or exercise. Then how determined are you really? See, maybe you're not really intending to lose weight. It's just the thoughtlessness in your oaths. You said it, but you really don't mean it. You have no commitment behind that which you say. Where is your level of commitment towards that which you want? Intentions are bigger than our words, bigger than just making a statement. So God says that it is the intentions in your hearts in which you will be judged upon. So it behooves us to continue to ask ourselves, what is my purpose? What purpose do I choose for or choose to do in life? It provides a level of meaning to you, a definition to you, as you look into the future. As you look into 2010, you can now begin to say to yourself, what is my meaning? What is my purpose for this particular year? What is it that I'm going to expend my energy towards to make happen? Sometimes we have too many intentions or too many commitments on our plate. And that also interferes with us achieving that which we want. It is so narrow down. Take a good look at all of the resolutions, all of the things that you say you want to accomplish this year, the level of success, what kind of success, how many areas of success, because it's difficult for us to focus on more than two or three things at a time, to move two or three marbles forward at a time. And as they say, we have a lot of irons in the fire. Well, it becomes too many irons is a distraction. It weakens our intention. It weakens our ability to act. So narrow down that which you want to. Again, I say no more than three, but maybe one thing. What is the most important thing? You have to begin, you have to say, what is my priorities? What are the priorities that I have in 2010? What is the number one priority for myself? That way, you can give the most energy, your time, your commitment to your number one priority. If we don't prioritize, if we don't bring order and structure, then we are just kind of wandering in the dark, so to speak, trying to figure out what it is that we really want. What is it that we really are concentrating on? So understand your intentions. Another place in the Quran, Allah says in Surah 9, 107, they will indeed swear that their intention is nothing but good. But Allah does declare that they are certainly liars. We swear up and down that we're going to do X, Y, and Z in 2010. We swear up and down that this is going to do, and sometimes we use terminology such as, I swear on my mother's grave, that we're going to do this, that, and the other. We look at people, we tell people we're going to do this or that. But our intention really is not grounded. We're just talking for the most part. There we swear that we're going to do this, but the good, the purpose, the real meaning behind it is missing. I'm going to go to school. I swear to you, I'm never going to do this again. I swear I'm not going to achieve this or that. Okay? I'm going to do this or that. And yet it doesn't happen. Okay? I'm going to take a break here for a moment. It tells me, and if you're listening, if you're in the chat room, you can tell me whether you hear me. It's telling me that I'm not streaming right now. I'm going to be right back and hopefully make sure we are, that people can actually hear.
Brother Mark. Brother Medgar. Brother Malcolm. We love you so. And miss you much. Your freely given blood fertilizes the tree of freedom. Your precious bodies ripped apart by the assassin's bullet sustains us in our struggle. We shall never forget you. We shall build on your shoulders and keep alive your legacy. Dreamer of a multiracial democracy, grand titan of love, drum major for justice, child of the prophetic black church who loved your way through the darkness. We shall never forget you, never ever forget you.
It's hard to believe three brothers could give the lie before I ride in a new world. Look here, they stood tall for what they believe, so you and me can achieve anything.
Brother Medgar, leader of quiet dignity and undeniable determination, fighting for black people to gain the right to vote in Bet Bucket, Mississippi, within apartheid America. We shall never forget your smile. We shall never forget your love. We shall never forget your sacrifice.
It's hard to believe three brothers could give the lie for our ride in a new world. Look at stood tall for what they believe, so you and me can achieve anything.
Brother Malcolm, truth teller about the night side of American democracy, telling America light years its vicious legacy of white supremacy. We shall never forget the witness that you bore. We shall never forget the love that you lay bare. Your fiery spirit is at work among the younger generation. They and us shall never forget you.
It's hard to believe three brothers could give the lie for our ride in a new world. Look at here. They stood tall for what they believe, so you and me can achieve anything.
Never forget what you gave us and try to take it to a higher 21st century. Mark, Mecca, Malcolm, hear us.
AM 360, and we're hopefully back on the air now, and you can hear us now. I hope so. The stream kind of still says we're not streaming, but I hope and pray that we are actually broadcasting across the airwaves here. But anyway, we're talking about intention, so it is my intent to move forward with the conversation here, and inshallah that all is well here. So again, the statement or the canonic verse is, they will indeed swear that their intention is nothing but good, but Allah does declare that they are certainly liars. Our intentions can sometimes be misguided, even though it may appear to us that we want to do nothing but good. But our intentions can sometimes be misguided. You know, you have a basketball player, I forget what team in the situation, or at least the team. And he pulled a gun on his teammate in the locker room, an empty gun. Now, he said his intentions was misguided. Okay. He thought he had a good intention. He wanted to maybe have a joke on a person or get someone to return or pay some money to him. His intention for his concern was nothing but for good. But he said, my intentions was misguided. The purpose in which I sought to do this for and the result in which I thought would come from it was misguided. It appeared to me initially that this was a good thing. It was going to be something funny. It was going to get the results that I chose, which was to get this person, I think it was a gambling debt, to get him to pay the person their money. But it backfired. His intentions were for good, as he says, but misguided. So sometimes our intentions too can be misguided. We think that this is a good thing, which we want to go after, but our intentions can be misguided. We can have miscalculated, even, I guess you could say, misthought. The thought in which we wanted to do a thing was flawed. Therefore, we ended up misguided. And so his intentions was misguided. No matter how he looked at it from his own perspective, he saw this was going to be a good thing. The person was going to be frightened and afraid, and then that they would again give him his money. So sometimes our intentions, we need to run them by someone else. We need to ask, is this the best thing? Is this the best approach for me? Here is my intention. Here is how I planned on carrying this out. And then other people may be able to see the flaws in our intentions. Okay? Our intentions are flawed. So they point out the flaws to us, and we have an opportunity to correct our thinking, our actions that we're planning on taking from this. Then we can make them, we can correct them. So when we understand our intentions, we understand the root cause of our purpose, our actions. What is the root cause of that which you want? When we can get to the root cause, and this is what sometime again they try to do in court, they try to determine what is the root cause of this person's actions. And even in some cases, they say, well, I didn't know. My intent was not to break the law. I didn't understand that I was breaking the law by doing what I was doing. Then they would say, well, the ignorance of the law is no excuse. Your intentions were misguided. Your root cause, while you may perceive it to be good, it resulted in a bad action. So be careful. Rethink, and sometimes ask other individuals to help you clarify your intentions, to examine your intentions to ensure that they are good from the beginning. Because as the other verse said, Allah will judge you for the intentions in your heart. For the goodness in your heart, well, you will be judged. But if the intentions is misguided from the beginning, then the results are going to be misguided. And in some cases, I don't want to say that as a blanket statement, but in some cases we start out with an intention, and the intent we go about to do it, and while it was started out wrong, or meaning that we, not so much that the intent in our hearts was wrong, but the way we started out wasn't right. But yet the results came from it, they turned out okay. And sometimes that's what we say. We say, wow, well, I'm sure glad that turned out okay. It started out, I didn't mean it in that direction, or I didn't want to go in that direction, but it still turned out okay. So sometimes our intentions can help turn the thing around for us. So whatever it is that you perceive for yourself in 2010, ask yourself, what is my intention behind it? What do I intend to come from this thing? Where do I intend, or how do I intend for it to benefit me as I move forward? Because the benefits that we want, how we intend to use our energy may directly impact how we proceed. So when we're looking at intention, there are then three components of the intention: goal, purpose, and action. All three of those things come from our intention. So we have to understand, what is the goal? What is our purpose? And then how do we plan on proceeding to achieve it? So we say that the goal is to, again, a lot of, you choose whatever one you want, but our goal is usually how we've somewhat decided the end result. So we say we want to lose weight. We're planning on enrolling in school. We're going to update our resume so that we're going to acquire the job that we want. Whatever that goal is, then there is a purpose behind it. The purpose, which we just stated, let's say the goal is I'm gonna lose a certain amount of weight. The goal is I want a certain specific job, or I'm going to enroll in a specific school, or pursue a specific level of study. Then our purpose. So then what purpose do we do this for? Are we attending college to seek knowledge, to seek information, to improve our skills, to get a promotion at the job? What is the purpose for it? We're going to lose weight because we want to improve our health. Or we want to be able to participate in certain activities that we are unable to do at this particular time due to our weight. So purpose gives us reason. What is the reason for that which we have chosen? When we can find the reason, then from there we can develop and understand what actions we need to take. So you decide that the goal is to attend college and earn a degree. Your purpose for going to college is Bismillah. I want to go in the name of Allah, because increasing knowledge, seeking knowledge from the cradle to the grave, is part of my duty to Allah. So that is one of my purposes. My other purpose is to attend college, to increase my knowledge and my effort to learn more about engineering, whatever the situation may be. And how do I want to use this knowledge that I'm going to gain from my pursuit of education? And then you have an intent or a purpose to attend a very specific college, to acquire a specific job, maybe to better support your family, to contribute to the overall welfare of humanity, of the human race. And how are you going to use this knowledge, this information, to increase yourself as a believer? So intention leads us to purpose, to a goal. And then from our goal, we have to understand what is the purpose behind it. Once we acquire or come to a level of what is the root cause, then our action plan gives us an opportunity to lay the foundation or the roadmap to achieving our intention. Maybe better yet is to manifest our intentions. How do we manifest our intentions? Through our actions. And we were talking about actions the other day. So this is the reasoning behind it. Because in the level, once we decide the intentions, now we have to say, now how do I proceed? Where do I go from here? We have, maybe on different levels, we have a spiritual purpose. We have an emotional purpose, a mental purpose, a physical purpose. We have different purposes why we're going to pursue that which we want. So therefore, our action plan must address all four levels of ourselves. What is our spiritual reasoning for pursuing a degree in engineering? What is it? We can use this engineering degree. As we pursue in engineering, we're going to embark upon certain subjects, mathematics, certain sciences, certain things we're going to learn, and we're going to use this information to maybe help better us understand the Quran, better understand how Allah has constructed this world, maybe even learn some things about my own self. But I have spiritual reasoning, purpose behind my pursuit of whatever it is. My intentions are to achieve. I've established the goal. I've understand my purpose. Again, like the gentleman in the basketball team, he poured a gun on someone and said, my intentions were misguided. Well, this is the reason why we must truly examine what our intentions are. And as we delineate out the intention into a goal, into purpose, into an action plan, hopefully it will expose the flaws in our thinking, in what you call it. But his, he didn't. He didn't give it much thought. He just saw, I'm going to take, which he said was an empty gun, to the locker room, and I'm going to pull it on this individual and the demanding, I guess, of money that it was some gambling debt or something they had betted on, and that he didn't owe the other person owed him money. Now he says, well, my intentions were misguided. Well, he didn't examine his action plan of pulling the gun, taking the gun there. This is his action plan. And his action is, I'm going to take the gun, unload it to the locker room. I'm going to ask him for my money. And then if he doesn't have it, I'm going to pull this gun on him. This is his action plan. Okay, but he didn't ask himself, what is the spiritual benefit that I'm going to arrive from this? What is the emotional benefit? What is the mental? What is the physical? All he looked at was, probably mostly was, the physical thing that he was going to end up with his money. So he left him misguided. And sometimes our intentions can leave us misguided, or what we call in the lurch, or in a deficit position, because we did not examine the intentions properly. So emotionally, what do we intend? How do we intend to grow from this particular situation as we move forward? Okay, we're here not just to say that I'm going to do something and then not understand how it's going to impact us. Let's see here. In the chat room, we say that. And we are talking again for Lovejoy. We are talking, yes, somewhat from Quran. We're quoting from Quran, but you do not have to be Muslim to use this particular information here that we're giving here. We're talking about the 12 divine tools for success, and we're talking about intentions as such. And so we're hoping that the information is broad enough that regardless of our beliefs, our fundamental spiritual beliefs, that this information will help you from here and beyond. So, emotionally, you know, I may be looking at something and saying, you know, that, you know, as I increase, and we're talking about right now, I'm using the as my guiding for the conversation, is my purpose, my intent is to go to school. My goal is to attend college. My purpose is to go do X, Y, and Z in college. So now the action plan from a spiritual point of view, as I get more information, I hope that it will help increase me in my spiritual studies. That information sciences, using the term that I'm going for an engineering degree, that this information will help me become more aware of God, maybe more aware of my surroundings, and then therefore I may even better use this information to teach others, to impart information to other people also on this level. Emotionally, I may be looking at, you know, how my going for a particular job is on an emotional level, that it may give me a increase in my prayers, because I really want this thing that I'm going after. I pray to God for it. And yes, the power of intention increases our ability to accomplish something. If we understand how we start with intentions, it's kind of, again, like what they call the law of attraction. You know, if I'm really committed to my intentions, if I can really get committed to my intentions, then they increase in me the energy, the wherewithal to accomplish that which I want. And the more I increase it, the more I understand my intentions, the better the steadfastness of me staying on this course becomes more probable. Again, we use the example earlier. Person says, many people says, I want to lose weight. And I want to be more fit. I'm going to go to the gym more. But the power behind their intent or the level of their intentions wasn't deep enough, wasn't broad enough. So they start out the year, but again, today, January 15th, by January 15th, they've already given up on that. Or they're starting to slow down. They did not necessarily prioritize this from their heart. As we read in the Quran a little earlier, where Allah says, God will not call you to account for your thoughtlessness in your oaths, but for the intentions in your hearts. So the intent in their heart wasn't deep enough, wasn't committed enough to bring about the results that they wanted. So we have to make sure that, again, we examine ourselves on all levels. Physically, I understand why I want to go to the gym, but I don't have enough mental or spiritual or emotional power or energy to take myself to the gym. So I have to increase myself at that level. I say this, but mentally, I'm always having excuses. This is not a priority for me. So we must also understand what is our priorities. How do we rank the priorities so that there's a real commitment behind the priorities? There's something there that honestly says this is my number one priority for 2010. And I'm so committed to this that all other things will wait for me to handle this business before I turn myself to other business. So intentions. We also have, again, reading from Quran and Surah chapter 24, verse 64. Well does he, meaning God, know what you are intent upon. And one day they will be brought back to him. Okay? Meaning our intentions, we will be judged on our intentions. So understand your goals, your purpose. Develop that action plan so that you understand that God knows what our intent is, and then make sure that you are prepared to get committed to it. Another one is, which we somewhat talked about in chapter 33, verse 5, but there is no blame on you if you make a mistake therein. What counts is the intention of your hearts. Sometimes we really do want a thing, but we're unable to bring it about. So God says, your intentions is the most important of all things. You really intended it. You went after it. You developed, you understood your purpose. You developed the action plan. You laid forth and you worked on it. You struggled for it. You took action for it. But it did not come about. So God says, there is no blame on you if you make a mistake or therein, or it doesn't come about. Or you go to do a thing and got very good intentions, but things don't always work out the way we intended for them to do. So remember, intent is the vital issue. Understand the intent in your heart. Go there, examine it, make sure that it's something that you honestly and sincerely are prepared to get committed to. Okay? Action plan, let me go back over this and we're going to wrap this session up and then we're going to move to the next one, which is self-determination. In the example that I have here, I have that my action plan or my part of the things of my action plan is that I'm going to as part of my pursuit of my education, I'm going to also make sure that my study of my religious book, in this case the Quran, is a very much part of my daily thing. Even though I have to study my school, my schooling, I'm going to make sure that I keep my spiritual studies up. I'm going to make sure that my prayers are up, kept up. I'm going to make sure that I'm still attending Juma. I don't want to lose my spiritual side just because I'm in pursuit of something more earthly. Emotionally, I want to continue to develop good, strong relationships with my classmates, my teachers. I want to join certain clubs while I'm at school. I want to become a very much part of the school, so therefore I'm going to develop my social side in at school as well. As well as then on the educational side, the mental side. Clearly, I want to make sure that my communication skills are increased, my vocabulary, my writing, my study time, how disciplined I become, various different things like this here. Okay, on physically, I'm going to make sure that I don't go into eating burgers and fries every day. I want to make sure I stay healthy and fit. So I'm also going to take time out of my study time, my school time, to make sure I go to the gym and so forth. So the action plan includes my total life. It's not just me saying, well, all that I'm going to do in school. It's expanded to include all of me, and then when we bring balance to our situation, it makes it easier for us to pursue our goals. If sometimes we become unbalanced, this is makes our goals or our intentions impossible. We say that I'm going to go to school, and then everything is about that. We're not going to the gym anymore. We don't visit our relatives anymore. We're just so buried in that situation that eventually even it begins to wear down on us. So keep yourself balanced as you go and to pursue the intentions. Okay? That is the intent. We also want to take time out again to say that if you can, if you have the will, the intent, please try to help the people in Haiti. You can text the word Haiti to 90999. We'll give a donation, or text YELE to 501501. All of these things will result in a donation, or you can give a donation to the Red Cross or to UNICEF, or contact Doctors Without Borders, or contact or look up thewhitehouse.gov, and those in the places are prepared and they're legitimate places to give donations. So be careful about where you give your money to, that you're being scammed, and the information that you give up online to certain places. All right. Now, self-determination plays a key role in whatever we want. Self-determination. One of the major things about the human being is they have been given a certain amount of willpower. Self-determination. You have the right, the God-given right, to make choices for yourself. The quality of those choices are important. Again, using the basketball player, he made a choice to take a gun to the locker room, but the quality of that choice was flawed. It didn't have much quality to it. So the willpower and how we exercise our willpower in 2010 is going to be vital. When you bring all of these tools together, self-determination is going to be at the root of them. Self-determination is at the root of intentions. This is at the root of our actions. It is at the root of us seeking knowledge. It is at the root of our struggles, our ability to say repent, to determine what is our, how we're going to be content, our relationships, our self-worth, self-determination will be at the root of it. The basketball player, his self-determination, what he wanted, his, what he saw for himself, was getting his money back. So it colored, it shaded his actions, his intentions, because he looked at, I want my money. This person owes me this money and I want it. And then everything else determined or grew from that. So be careful from which premise you start from. Willpower can make you or break you. Willpower also has in it purpose and intent. What we want, or how we plan on going to go about getting it, is going to make the results one thing. But here's the thing we want to really get into about willpower, and that's this. It's yours to use. And you need to become an expert at using your willpower. At you determining for yourself how you perceive life for yourself. What my choices are going to be, what my direction is going to be, what the action plan is going to be, even how I perceive my own self is within my power. How I look at my own self-worth, my value, my capabilities, all of this is within my purview. So where we are right now in our life, you can say it has been my self-determination that I've ended up where I am, how I perceive myself. I have used my own willpower, my own way of looking at myself, and now this is who I am. So now the goal is to project yourself into the future and say, how do I want to be 12 months from here? What do I need to accomplish? Because if I can get my willpower focused and looking into the future, I can now guide it better. I can guide myself better to a more meaningful purpose. For a meaningful outcome, results. Conscious choices gives us or shows us we're using our willpower, and I say at the highest level. When we make conscious choices, choices that are thought out, examined, and comes down to a level that I honestly believe in the choices that I'm making. If we don't believe in the choices that we're making, it infects our intentions. And this is one of the things that God tells us, is that you must make conscious choices. When it comes to worship, you must make a conscious choice. There's no forcing, there's no pushing, prodding. You must make conscious choices. So when it comes to your life, conscious choices become your tool for success. We read a little earlier again from the Quran. Allah says in chapter 2:225, Allah will not call you to account for thoughtlessness in your oaths, but for the intentions in your hearts. So intentions should bring about conscious choices on our part. What are the conscious choices that we're trying to make, that we need to make, so that we become responsible for our own life? I cannot blame it on someone else because someone else told me to go in this direction. They said, go do X, Y, and Z. I went and did X, Y, and Z, and it didn't benefit me. We don't want to be in a position where we're blaming others. We want to put ourselves at the center of our lives. And the one way we do that is that we make the conscious choices. We put ourselves at the center of our lives when we make conscious choices. You are in the driver's seat. Drive your life in the direction that you want it to go by self-determination. By taking all of the tools and bringing them together under the umbrella of self-determination. I have my knowledge that I seek. I'm seeking it from a position of self-determination because there's something that I have personally chosen, I have decided upon, and now I want to move in that direction. When we don't make conscious choices, then we leave our lives up to other people or up to the environment. And then we're always blaming our environmental situations for where our life is. You know, this is why we get hung up on whether it's skin color, the geographical location, how much money I have or don't have in my pocket. You know how many people have been successful who were born in lowly conditions, who had little money in their pocket. People have been built empires from nothing because they made conscious choices about their life. They knew that this was not the sum total of their life, and they were not going to define their life by the present day situation in which they see or found themselves in. So, you have no excuses. You need to give up and turn it loose. Conscious choices will make you or break you in 2010. Self-determination. What is it that you honestly want for you? Believe that you can and you will. Determine the direction of your life. We may not get everything we want because there's a willpower over our willpower. And that's something that we also accept or factor into our conscious choices. This is why, as Muslims, we say, Inshallah, if it is the will of Allah, I will be in school in 2010. I will enter school. I will go back to school. I will get a degree. I will go and get the better job. I will increase my skills, whatever it happens to be. Inshallah. So we're also conscious of the fact that even though I make choices, I have self-determination, I understand that there is a power greater than mine. I've come to a conscious choice about this. Now that I've accepted this, it should make it easier for us to pursue that which we want. With the understanding that, why do we have this sort of, let's say, this spiritual connection? That whatever it is, I'm always asking God, God, please help me. Help me achieve this what I want. Help me accomplish and help me keep my intentions pure and honest. The knowledge that you grant me to me, make sure I use it for the good and not the bad. Well, because I made the conscious choice and I recognize that there's a power greater than mine, I can do, then part of my self-determination is that I submit to that power. I submit to that power as I move my life forward. When we practice self-determination, when I say practice, I mean, again, we brought it more to a conscious level with ourselves. It's not something that we just, you know, some people live their lives sort of by the seat of their pants or by the whatever direction the wind is blowing. That's some level of self-determination, but it's a weak level. So by practicing, we actually mean that we're making the conscious choices. Excuse me for a little bit. Throat gets real dry here talking, I guess. Excuse me. Excuse me. So now we begin to set direction. We determine direction for our life. What's in front of us and not what's behind us. We don't drive looking in the rearview mirror. We drive looking through the windshield. We do not drive looking through the rearview mirror. Do not worry about what is past. Worry about what's in front of us. What direction are we headed? Where do we want to end up from here? If I measured myself when I came into 2010, and I measure myself when I come out of 2010, there should be a gain, a notable gain between the two. The direction in which I'm headed is going to determine how much of a gain that's going to be. When I understand the direction, then I can exercise my willpower to maintain this direction, to maintain these priorities, to maintain these action steps, to keep the goal, my commitment, my enthusiasm connected to that which I want. But we have to believe in this direction. A lot of us, we don't believe in the direction in which we pointed our life. We don't have much faith in it. We don't believe that the outcome is going to benefit us or that we can honestly achieve the direction in which we're going. So if you want to make something happen, you must also have faith in it and believe in it. This is America Muslim 360, Thomas Abdul Salam, and we're talking about the 12 divine tools of success. And self-determination is the one we're on right now. Again, we always welcome any comments in the chat room and any questions and from anybody that's online or comments that you may have that you wish to give. Self-determination is a tool. Most of us do not exercise it. We do not practice it. We're encouraging you to practice self-determination, consciously making choices about you. Conscious choices that you can believe in, that you have faith in, that you honestly perceive as a purpose, a goal for yourself. That you're willing to submit to this particular direction because you see it as the best direction for yourself and you recognize that there is a power greater than your power. So even though I've decided in the direction, I have faith in the direction. I believe in this direction. I also recognize that God is the final determinant of whether I arrive or fall short of this direction. But I will give it my all. I will apply action. I will struggle. I will gain the knowledge, the information. I will use my intentions to achieve. In other words, I am involved in my life. I do not have self-worth issues. I'm not bogged down by relationship issues. I am involved in the pursuit of this thing. A lot of us, we want to blame God because something didn't happen, but let alone we never was in it wholeheartedly. But when it don't happen, then we say, well, God didn't want it. No, you didn't want it. You didn't want it for yourself. Not bad enough, deep enough. You did not have a faith in yourself to that you would even make this thing happen. Some of us, we just chose resolution because it just happened to be January 1st. So it's what we do. Okay? We're not asking you to do this without thoughtlessness. We're asking you to give conscious thought to what it is you want. Therefore, you can come to believe in it. You can come to direct yourself, your life, your actions, your emotions in the direction in which you want your life to go. At some point in time, we have to decide it's time for us to save our own life. As Michael Jackson said, we are saving our own life. So if you're not involved in saving your own life, self-determination, then your life is or will end up wherever it chooses or wherever it just goes. It's kind of like just letting the animal just wander on the pasture, on the field. The animal is going to end up wherever it ends up, not by conscious choice, just by the mere fact that it just got tired and it stopped at one location, or the wind blew and it turned itself around, whatever the situation may be, but it was not conscious choices. So we say that we want a mission. We're on a mission. You know, are we on the right mission? Is this the mission for you? Did you choose this mission, or did someone else choose this mission for you? What is your mission in life? Okay. What is your mission? Everybody's saying, well, you know, I'm trying to find purpose and mission and these kinds of things today. What we're saying to you is that your mission, your purpose, you already have. You haven't discovered it. You haven't sat down with your own self and through the process of self-determination, examine your intentions, looked at your self-worth, ask yourself what brings about a level of contentment for you. You haven't given your own self much thought. So we're always looking, and we'll somewhat, I say, pay other people to help us find our intentions, our purpose, our mission. If you spend a little time with yourself, some honest time, open time with yourself, you will find mission. You will find purpose. Part of that is, but you must act. Sometimes it's in the doing of the thing that we find out, this is what I love. This is what I really, really love doing. This is what I want to expend my life about. We take no action, so therefore we have no purpose. We have no mission in life because we never took action on anything. We never sat down and determined what is the action plan for my life, for my future. We just did wishful thinking. We're thinking all the time about what we want. what we could have done, what we should have done. But when it comes to action, we are lax or have none at all. When it comes to conscious choices, we're always putting that off until tomorrow. You know, we have little to no faith in ourselves. Determination means that I plan to take something to the end. Terminate. I'm planning on terminating something. I want to see something through to the end. What is it that you want to see through to the end? What would give your life meaning? If you sit down and say it, or ask yourself the question, you know, what makes me find contentment? What brings contentment to me? Some people knew immediately when they heard about the earthquake in Haiti, they were on the phone volunteering. They were packing their bags. Because something at the root of them finds contentment in helping others. They knew that this was what they were going to do. Some people know at a very early age, this is what I want to do. And sometimes just getting committed to something, just clearing your plate, can help you find purpose and mission. We keep too much on our plate, keep too many irons in the fire, as they say. So we're always confused. And we use confusion as a means or an excuse not to have purpose and mission. Some of us don't want to have purpose and mission. Some of us consciously know this, others unconsciously. But if you really want it, then take a look at what's on your plate. Look at your wishful thinking. And then start to window it down. What are the real priorities? What would I really, really enjoy doing here? Am I a person who enjoys gaining new knowledge, new information? Am I a person who maybe love helping, being involved with people? Do I love being outside, outdoors? You know, they have all kinds of assessment tests, and we give assessments in our trainings as well. I think we have probably over 12, 15 assessments we give to help a person boil down what it is they want by examining themselves, by willing to take a good look at themselves internally, and then say, wow, I do really like these things, okay? One of the issues becomes sometimes is, you know, we need to understand where we fit in on the, the project, the thing that's going on. Some of us like starting things. But once the thing is started and it gets so far, we lose interest. Some of us, we like taking an idea, an action plan, and we like implementing the action plan. Okay? But then once it's implemented, once it gets so far, we lose interest. See, we have to understand ourselves at some rudimental levels. But if we really practice self-determination, we will be seeking this information. Who am I? What do I want? What are my likes and dislikes? What turns me on? What brings commitment to me? So some of us, nothing wrong with it. We need, let's say, classes, seminars to help us, guide us. to purpose, to mission. We need to take these personality assessment tests, emotional intelligence tests, assessments, I should say. So that we say, can I get a grip on me a little bit? But self-determination can push us in that direction because it gives us the ability or the consciousness to say, I need to know me more. I need to know what direction my life is headed. What is my purpose? What is my mission? Okay. Some of us, we may be actually, to be honest with you, some of us are wrestling with arrogance. Arrogance interferes with us. We're too arrogant to really see ourselves, to come to grips with ourselves. Arrogance plays a role in some of our lives that, excuse me, to the point that we're really damaged goods, I guess you could say, because we're just too arrogant for anybody to help us. You know, we can't even help our own selves because we're just too arrogant. So self-examination, making conscious choices may help expose some of this to ourselves. But what we want to do as individuals, as we move forward, because it's still early in 2010, and we're going to spend this month talking about hopefully a lot of these kinds of things here. We have also, you know, coming up some other things that will help you in this month that will hopefully help you, give you some information. Because right now, while January is new, we're excited. We're excited about our life. We're excited about the new year, what we perceive as new opportunities. We're excited about these things. But there's also things that we don't want to do. So next week, we'll be talking about 12 counterproductive laws. Counterproductive things that you don't want to do. I'll definitely want to avoid. So that you can make this year a good year, a successful year. So self-determination brings all of the tools of divine success together. How I master these tools, how I become skilled at applying them, learning, using them to learn and to give me information is going to be important. Many of us want, let's say, autonomy, self-determination, autonomy. We want to be on our own. We want to be able to make choices, okay? But we're afraid of it. It causes us pause. We say, oh my God, you know, if I make a choice, then that means that I have to take responsibility for the choice. Autonomy, today we talk about what we call codependency. A lot of us have codependency issues. We're connected to someone else, connected to a situation. Even sometimes we're codependent on things that hold us back, but we have codependency with them. So it's difficult for us to exercise self-determination. Excuse me again. But this codependency is sort of slipping back into Because as you move forward, sometimes success can frighten you a little bit. So we'll run back to the things that we just left. Success can propel you forward, or it can propel you backwards. You'd be surprised how many people are afraid of success. They talk about all of the things they want, they're going to accomplish, all the new changes they're going to make about themselves, but they do little. Because success is and can be a very frightening thing. Because success, or what I mean by that, now I'm using this word in this term, meaning that me being where I am right now, and me being someplace I think I want to be in the future, the distance between where I am and where I want to get to requires me to change, to make some very different things about my life. And in that way, it frightens us. Because I have to become someone different. Who I am today is not powerful enough to give me what I want. Okay? Not powerful enough to give me what I want. I'm not responsible enough today to be the person that I want to be in the future. The future, the person I want to be in the future is and has to be more responsible, more accountable than the person today. So success can frighten us. I don't want to be that important. I don't want to be that responsible. Okay? Or the distance between where I am and where I want to go, that road I have to travel, that journey I have to travel, the actions I have to take, the things I have to learn, the relationships I have to build, that road is kind of like the road to Jericho. It's crooked, you know. There's a lot of danger on that road to Jericho. But I must set out on that road. I don't want the difficulty of the road to frighten me. Many of us were frightened by the difficulty of the road. Jericho is a very crooked road, goes up into the mountains and turns and goes a lot of deep turns. And that's where, in biblical terms, where the man, the thieves, had assaulted this man. And the Good Samaritan came along. I'm talking about that road, okay? Not trying to get into that story, but I just want to bring it home to you what I'm talking about here. So it's a very dangerous road. This is why the man was assaulted on the road. It was a dangerous road. It's a dangerous place. From where you are to where you want to get to, i.e. success, it's a dangerous road. There are many pitfalls on that road. There are many things along that road that may trip you up. And setting from where you are, looking down that road, it may frighten you and you may not even take off on the journey. You may not have enough self-determination, enough commitment, enough belief in yourself, in your mission, in your purpose. Even though you have an action plan in your hand, you do not have the courage to set out on this road. So people set all day, they're set all year long, examining their action plan, talking about their action plan for the next 12 months. And you look up in 2011 and you'll say, so what did you do last year? Oh, man, I don't know, man. I'm still tweaking my action plan. I'm still trying to organize my action plan. No, what you see is a person who is afraid of success. That's what you see. So we may be that person. We may be that individual. How do we move ourselves forward? Okay? So I want to play a little game with you here. And it's not a game per se, but I want to give you something, what I call 8 steps. 8 steps to help you ingrain self-determination and an action plan, or to begin to see, or hopefully move you from where you are to where you want to get to. So, I call the game, get the door, it's your fairy godmother. Get the door, it's your fairy godmother. Someone is knocking at the door. You hear opportunity. You're sitting here in 2010, and you say to yourself, I want something. I see opportunity. Opportunity is knocking for me. I have new inspiration. I have new enthusiasm. I see new opportunities in 2010. Well, I'm asking you to answer the door. Can you at least answer the door? Okay? Going to give you a quote. It says, no matter how old you are, no matter how old you are, the day you can't sit down and come up with a want list, you're in trouble because you're on your way out. Albert Maslow. Okay. So, here we are in 2010. Most of us are talking about what we want. So, let's see if what you want is what you want. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do, and we're not going to probably take all the time here, but we're going to go through the process, through the exercise, and then, inshallah, God willing, you can come back and do the exercise yourself or write it down, and then you can take the exercise. But first of all, give yourself 5 minutes and just list. The fairy godmother is sitting in front of you, and the fairy godmother says to you, anything that you want, fairy godmother, let me read it for you as I have it here. Pretend for a moment that your fairy godmother mysteriously appears at your front door and tells you that you can have everything you could possibly dream of. There's no limitation or cost, but it must be about you specifically. Not that you want something for someone else. You want this for you. Not what you want for others. But if you cannot write it down in 5 minutes or less, it will not be granted to you. If you cannot get it on the paper in 5 minutes, it will not be granted. Anything that's not written down, you can forget it. Your fairy godmother is not going to make it happen. All right? Now, we can give a couple of quick quote pros or fine print things. We're not talking about bringing somebody back from the dead. We're not talking about the impossible things or those things that are clearly outside of your abilities. Okay? Something that you want for you. We're not bringing back people from the dead and those kinds of things, okay? So, 5 minutes, you have those things. Now, prioritize those things, okay? And you might even want to look at them in the sense of categories. Is this something, is this thing that I want, is it a health issue? That I want better health. This thing is going to bring me better health, i.e. losing weight. What category might it fall up under? Is it a family issue? I want to spend more time with my family. Okay. And one, I will ask you to be specific about, get the thing more specific. In other words, again, I always use the thing about going to school. In other words, I intend on going to school to earn a degree in engineering. Okay. Some of us, we say, I want to become more spiritual, or I want to become something. Well, you have to hone that in on what it is. This is helping us get at our intentions, getting self-determination in front of us. Okay. We're kind of bringing home all of the 12 rules. We haven't gone over the last one yet, but the last one is just kind of a caveat. Okay. But what we're trying to do is bring together knowledge, struggle, repentance, even joking, or lightheartedness, action, contentment, relationships, self-worth, brother's keeper, intention, and self-determination. We're trying to bring all these things home right now in this exercise. So here you are. You have, I assume, a myriad of things that you want that you've written down. You can just write them. You can write them and then categorize them, or you can just write them and prioritize them. I'm just giving you, some people might want to do, you might look at something, you might say, this is charitable work, so I'm going to put this in this category. I might have several things in charitable work, I'm going to put it over there. They may be career, they may be education, but the categories may not be as important as you prioritizing them. Prioritize them by doing this. Ask yourself, and what is, out of all of the things I've listed, how would I prioritize them? Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, whatever, how many numbers you came up with. Give them some level of priority. How do you see these things falling in your life? The next I would ask you to do is to give them some completion date. How soon would you like to see this thing, the results from it? Now, I understand some things are what we call long term, but at some point you must say X, Y, and Z must take place by this date. Okay? Again, people who spend all their time in their action plan are people who are afraid of success. They cannot set dates. They do not know when they want something to happen. They're always talking about, well, this is real long term. Well, no, it ain't that long term, okay? Why? Because you're going to die one day. So it can't be that long term. One day you're going to, what I call, fall off this planet. You're going to become a thing of non-existence. So nothing is that long term. Set a date. When do you want this thing to happen, or a set of string of events? When do you, these string of events must take place by this date. So don't quiver, don't be all caught up in, when do I want this thing to happen? If you're serious, if you got good intentions, if you're prepared to be involved in self-determination, you will set a date. Okay? If not, if you cannot set a date, then you need to ask yourself, am I afraid of success? If the answer most likely is yes, I am afraid of success. I am afraid of what I want. I'm afraid of that road to Jericho. It's a steep road. It's a difficult road, and I don't know what to expect, and so I'm afraid. It's no problem. Nothing wrong with admitting that we're afraid. It's part of us. Hopefully, now we need to seek help for our fear of success. So, anyway. So now you have those things. You have a list of what you want. Fairy Godmother is ready. She got her wand. Her wand is ready. She's ready to give you what you want. You got a list of them there on the paper. Now you prioritize them and you set dates to them. Now I want you to determine, draw a line under what you perceive, or put an asterisk by what you perceive to be your three most important, drop dead, must happen in 2010 things. These things must happen. I will not leave 2010 without these things taking place. What are they? Okay. What are they? Now, from this point on in the exercise, I only want you to concentrate on those top three things that you said are my drop dead things. Okay. When the clock ticks on 2010, December 31st, 2010, before the clock strikes noon or midnight, bringing in 2011, these are the three things that will take place in my life. Okay? So now, any questions, any things that happen from this day, from this forward, I only want you concentrating on those three things. Everything else on the paper, don't worry about right now. So here's the next thing then. I want you to take these issues one by one, your priorities, one by one. You got number one, you got number two, you got number three. I want you now to answer this question. Why am I committed to my top three goals? How will accomplishing these better my life? Answer that for each one. For number one, why are you so committed to number one? Why is it number one? What makes number one number one? And how will it, accomplishing this thing, better my life? How is it going to change or alter the quality, the quantity of my life? How is it going to bring me into 2011 ready for a new beginning? Do that with number one, number two, and number three. Where do you perceive yourself? How do you perceive these things, and why are you so committed to them? That is a very, very important question. Why are you committed to these top three things? What brings these things to center court? This is the center court. This is the Super Bowl of my life. These three things make up the Super Bowl of my life. When I win these, I have become the champion of my life. I am now in control. I'm exercising willpower. I understand my purpose, my mission, my direction. I believe in me at such a level. I'm making conscious choices because these three things are the Super Bowl of my life. They are the all-star game. I'm getting ready to play the all-star game of my life as far as 2010 is concerned. Now, step four. There's a series of questions, but think about them, and again, only in relationship to those top three things that you have. What has happened or changed? What has to happen, or change about me to achieve my top three goals? Read it again. What has to happen or change about me to achieve my top three goals? You see, again, as I said, the person standing before you and the person that you want to be on January the 1st, 2011, are not the same two individuals. So there's something has to happen or change, and maybe both, for me to achieve these top three goals. So here's another series of questions. There's a series of questions to help you bring this out. So the next part of this is, what has to happen or change in my thinking? What mental processes are going on in me that holds me back, that may prevent me from achieving, becoming victorious in the Super Bowl / the All-Star game of my life? What has to happen or change in my behaviors? Okay? I'm doing something. Because these things haven't happened, it says to me I'm doing something today that I should not be doing. I have behaviors, habits that I need to take a look at because they're preventing me from changing, becoming the person, or achieving that which I want. What has to happen or change in my personal life? Yes, I have personal issues that I need to take a look at. Examine for myself and ask myself, what of these things? Sometimes they become relationships. Sometimes there may be certain addictions. And Monday just could be an addiction to TV. We spend so much time in front of the TV that we don't have time to make things happen in our life. What has to change in your thinking, your behavior, and your personal life? Okay? This is like the coach coming out. The coach says, look here, team. Tomorrow is the Super Bowl. We've made it this far. Now, I'm telling you right now, some of the plays we've done, some of the actions we've taken in the past is not going to cut it today. This is one game and everything's on the table. So the coach comes out and he said, look at him, quarterback, I need for you to rethink. I need you to start looking long. I need you to start paying attention. Get that vision so you can see the whole field. Change something about your thinking. Change something about your behavior and your personal life that tomorrow when you show up here tomorrow and when the whistle is blown, they flip the coin, boom, you are ready. You're going to make this happen. We will win this game. And then what type of person must I become to achieve my goals? Again, the person I am today is not big enough. They're not qualified to give me what I want. So I must go in and change this person. I have to take a look at my principles, my values, and my character. See, this is truly drilling down inside of you. And we no longer scratching the surface anymore. Okay? We now inside. We walking around inside of you. We're looking at your intentions. We're looking at, do I have enough knowledge? Do I have the right level of self-determination? Do I have the right willingness to struggle? Am I willing to forgive myself of the past? Stop feeling sorry for myself. See what I'm saying? These are things that may be behaviors or things. Okay? We're bringing the tools home now. Okay? Do I have enough lightheartedness? There's nothing wrong with being serious, but I also have to be lighthearted enough in my life. Am I action-oriented enough? Am I prepared to be content to the level that I don't continue to self-sabotage myself? I'm content with me, but yet my contentment says I can be better. Okay? Just going to go back over to the ones we went over this week. We're bringing them home now. This is a Friday. Relationships. Okay? What's in my personal life? Self-worth. Maybe habits. It's definitely got to do with principles, values, and character. Am I my brother's keeper? Okay? Am I open enough? Because relationships, success, requires me to be involved with other people. See, the quarterback is not going to make the game happen. He's not going to win the game by himself, nor is the coach. They have to build relationships. They have to decide that, look, I'm here blocking you. I'm my brother's keeper. I'm going to pass the ball when it's time to pass the ball. I'm bouncing between football and basketball. Okay? But the point is, what type of person must you become? What are your principles? What are your values? What are your character? Okay? I'm going to give you everything you want. Everything you want, I'm going to give it to you. Those top three things, I will give them to you in 2010. Okay? And again, I guess I could say, if you come to my class, you'll even get more of this. But this is just a small snapshot of what you get. But that's not the purpose here of selling a class. I'm trying to push forward some things to you. So the next thing is, the next step, we're on step five now. What have been the roadblocks or obstacles that have prevented you from achieving your top three goals in the past? What do you perceive holds you back? Okay, and they could be, again, back to this behavior, thinking, personal life. Okay, there could be principles, values, and character. But what roadblocks holds you back? A lot of people like to write now, oh, money holds me back. Well, I'll tell you right now, money don't hold you back. It may be a resource you don't have, but definitely a resource you can go get. If you develop the action plan and you become the person, because you can go before people, people will invest in you. If they can see enough of you really into this thing, and you got a good plan, you got a good action plan, people lay money on the table with people. Okay? So money isn't always it, but people like to write down money here. I don't have enough money, you know. Well, write it down if that makes you feel good. At least get it off your mind. Put it down and then move on. What is honestly holding you back? What are truly the obstacles that keeps you from achieving that which you want? Step 6. What am I willing to give or give up to complete my top 3 goals? See, we have to give or give up, and maybe we have to do both. We have to give something and we have to give up something. If you're where you are today and where you want to be, requires giving and giving up. Because I have to give up this location where I am. I'm content, but I'm not so content that I'm going to spend the rest of my life right here. Okay? I'm not unhappy with myself. I'm content. At least to the level, I'm not going to be depressed about where I am. But I know I'm not going to spend the rest of my life right here. So I got to give up this location. I got to give up this status. No matter how much I fell in love with it, I got to give it up. I got to say, I'm out of here. Okay? That means I may have to give up some friends. I may have to give up some relatives. I may have to give up some money, some time, some energy. I have to give up some things in order to get what I want. Okay? So what are you willing to give and or give up to achieve, to walk home with the trophy from the Super Bowl? Don't think them people haven't given or given up some things. They didn't spend 12 or 18 long weeks getting to this point, being at practice, on time, practicing hard, practicing after hours, before hours, studying the playbook, practicing every day. They're ready. They said we are the 2 top teams in the NFL. And we come here now to prove who is the best of the best. Okay? Because there's only going to be one person standing on the mountaintop, right? You want to be the person. And I don't mean that in no evil way. You want to be the person standing on the mountaintop because you took your life seriously. You said to yourself, death, self-determination, we're going to apply it, practice it, implement it in 2010. So now we're trying to implement it here, giving you these things, all right? All right? So what are you willing to give? What are you going to give up? I have to give up TV. I have to give up the computer. I don't know what you have to do, but you have to make some choices at this level if what you want is really what you want. Okay? Many people, they go without sleep because they want what they want. They go without food sometimes because they want what they want. They go without relationships. No. Sometimes they say, you know, the first couple of things to go, you know, you forego, you know, food, sleep, and sex. After you forego those, then so life is open now, right? Okay. But you may have other issues, drug issues, you know, lackadaisical issues. But what are you willing to give? These people who show up, these sports figures, they've given up a lot to be where they are. Think about Michael Jackson. He said, man, I never had a childhood. Wasn't so much by his choice, But he had to give up that. God blessed him to be the king of pop. Okay? God blessed him to be the king of pop. But he gave up a lot. You saw it in him. You saw his life. He gave up a lot. But that was his goal. He liked it even as a child. So what do you like? What do you want? This is America Muslim 360, Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. And we're talking about the 12 divine tools for success. The 12 divine tools for success. I want you to be successful. So I'm kind of giving you, without you paying for it, coming to the class, I've been giving you, I'm almost giving you this whole month, giving it to you so that you can be successful. Okay? I want you to be successful. I am my brother's keeper. Okay? After this, people have to pay for the class. But anyway, it's not the total class. Let me stop joking like that. Okay, anyway, but you're getting a lot of the information from the class to hopefully help you be successful. So, now step seven is this. What are the benefits to me to accomplish these top three goals? Okay, we sort of asked you this question in number three. What will accomplishing these goals, how will it benefit my life? Now we're asking you the question is, what are the benefits to you and maybe even your family? But remember, all of this is about you. As you answer these questions, keep them personal. Keep them personal. But here, it may also be benefit, because if it benefits you, we hope, inshallah, the God willing, that it's also going to benefit your family, other people who are close to you. How is this going to benefit you? Can you delineate that out? Can you write that out? All three of these goals. Name the first one, their top priority. If I accomplish this, how would my life change? Okay? Meaning, again, what is the outcome? Well, if I looked into the future and I saw myself after I accomplished all of this, what would my life be? Where would I be standing? I'm not going to be standing where I am today because I've given up this position. I give this position up to someone else. I'm going to be standing somewhere else, a distance away from here. Where is that? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What are the benefits to you and i.e. maybe your family? I'm going to be a new person over there. I'm going to have new values and new principles, or be more committed to my values and my principles. I'm going to have a new set of thinking, new behavior over there. I'm going to have a new personal life over there. See? I'm not going to be this person. So give up this person. Say to this person, I love you, but I got to give you up. Because I have to go through this metamorphosis. I'm a caterpillar. I'm a caterpillar today. I'm going to get in this cocoon, and I'm going to do what I need to do in this cocoon, and when I come out, I'm going to be a butterfly. Okay? And you know, scientifically, the caterpillar and the butterfly, DNA is different. The DNA of the caterpillar and the DNA of the butterfly are two different things. That's how different. That's the struggle of the caterpillar. On the ground, walking and crawling, and goes through a metamorphosis. Okay? See, not a transformation. They go through a metamorphosis, meaning that everything that they were, they leave it behind. They take on a whole new DNA. Think about that. a butterfly. That's what we're talking about. What is the metamorphosis that you're going to go through when you come, you're a caterpillar? When you look up, what kind of butterfly are you going to be? A monarch butterfly? What kind of butterfly are you going to be in the future? That's what we want to know here. So what are the benefits to me? Who am I going to be? What am I going to look like? What am I going to be doing then that I'm not doing today? And there's going to be a benefit to me. It's going to bring me success. It's going to bring me a new level of contentment by the time I hit 2011. Now, we ask you to take on this last question. This last question, step 8. I told you we got 8 steps. And here's the 8th one. What are my concerns about me that bother me the most that might prevent me from reaching my goals? See, even after all of this, there's still some fear of success left in you. You're afraid of success. Yes, you are. We all are. We're afraid of becoming the butterfly. We're afraid of becoming the cocoon, crawling in that cocoon and doing whatever struggle, whatever work, whatever action, whatever changes, metamorphosis I must do with myself. We're afraid of the cocoon. So what concerns do you have about you that bother you? You know some things about you that you know are holding you back. Some of us, we are lazy. We just need to admit it. We lazy. Seems to be something I cannot seem to shake my laziness. You know, I just cannot perceive myself being smart enough to get through calculus. I don't perceive myself, whatever. And you know, what bothers you about you? Something bothers you about you at the core of you. And it prevents you from achieving your goals. You know this. Be honest with yourself. Open up. Ain't nobody listening. Ain't nobody looking over your shoulder. Nobody reading your paper but you. So be honest. Open up. Come on. This is real. Okay? Now, we're not going to get into the development of the action plan and so forth and so on. We don't have that kind of time here again. This is a much longer course, clearly. We did that in, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, but it's a much longer course and what have you. But you follow what I'm saying to you here, because I want to bring this home to you. I don't want you sitting here saying, well, I've listened to this guy and he's talked and he yaddy, but you know, how do you bring all this together? Okay? We just begin to sort of sew it up together. All right? We kind of sewed it up together, clearly, in a much more time issue. We would do a different job, a different perspective on this. But I hope that we didn't leave you. I'm not going to leave you. Today is Friday, and we're now into our last hour here. I don't want to leave you without some meat and potatoes, so to speak. Take the exercise. Your fairy godmother, she just knocked. Okay? Your fairy godmother, or maybe you want to call me your fairy godfather. All right? Just knocked at your door and said, whatever you want, I'm prepared to give it to you. I will see you through in 2010. Okay? And again, just to continue to sort of plug the class, that's what we do. We see you through for one whole year in our course, and it's called The Power to Be You. The Power to Be You. If you'd like to know more about The Power to Be You, you can contact us at thepowertobeyou@yahoo.com. The Power to Be You. And that is the number 2, the letter B, the letter U. The Power Two, number 2, B, letter B, letter U, at yahoo.com. If you'd like to know more about that course, we don't, be honest with you, we don't advertise it as much anymore. People just kind of contact us about the course. We give them the course, but we don't advertise it as much as we used to. But it is a course that is still offered, and we do give it from time to time at various different locations, or you can take it singly, individually, from myself if you wish to. So again, just contact me there at thepowertobeyou@yahoo.com. We'd be more than happy to give you the details of that. And the purpose of it is to follow you for one whole year to get you to accomplish that which you want. I am Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace, coming to you now from American Muslim 360. And we want to, first of all, again, appreciate you for coming, spending time with us this morning. We're not finished, but we don't want to always be at the end and telling you that how we appreciate you coming and hanging with us and spending time with us here on American Muslim 360 at such a early hour in the day. But I'm an early riser, and I love my mind, my spirit is, you know, these are things you learn about yourself. You know, I learn things about myself. I'm an early riser. I love doing things early in the morning. My energy is good in the morning. Now, you catch me at 8, 9 o'clock at night, I don't know. You may not get the same energy from me, but I'm an early riser. So I come to you at the time that I'm sort of at my peak. And so I try to bring it to you like this. Anyway, let's move on. You kind of got that. Now we sort of brought all of these things sort of into this mix by giving you this exercise, Get the Door. It's your fairy godmother. If you haven't, clearly on the radio, you may didn't go through that exercise, but clearly go back. You can listen to it in the archives. You can go through that exercise. And again, if nothing else, just contact me at the Power to Be You. And if you wish to arrange to take the full course, we can arrange that. But that was not the purpose of this. I've given you a lot of things, some things, other things out of this. Didn't even mention about the course, but because it wasn't my intent to do that. And but anyway, it just came out. So anyway, now we're moving on. Here's the last one. And the last one is kindness. You know, I just believe that us practicing kindness, you know, it's kind of like they say, you know, kind of goes hand in hand, I guess you can say, somewhat with being my brother's keeper. But I want for you what I want for myself. What I want out of life, I want you to have the same opportunity that I have. Therefore, kindness to my brother and my sister, my reaching out to you is through my efforts to offer kindness to you, to show you, to inspire you to also practice kindness to others. As they say, pay it forward. Is that right? They say pay it forward. We have to be people who pay it forward. Kindness can never escape us, even in the situations where people seem to wrong us. Do not let kindness slip off the table. Do not allow kindness, other people, to move you from this principle, this divine tool. Always choose kindness over anger. And if you do or move to anger for any reason, learn to come back and apologize. Accept your responsibility and accountability in a situation and apologize. You will feel better about yourself. Okay? Be the first one to reestablish dialogue. People may reject you, and you may have done things to individuals that they are justified, but be the first to offer kindness. Do not shun or be so arrogant that kindness cannot be a tool of yours at every step and every movement of your life. Kindness may even require for us sometimes to step aside for others to have what they want. You know, don't ever feel that God is bankrupt, that somehow you are not going to get yours. No, there's only so many cookies on the table, then let everybody else have a cookie. Wait for your cookie later, okay? The most tasteful cookie is going to be the cookie that God gives you. It's going to be the cookie that you're going to savor the most. If everybody is reaching and grabbing, let them have it, okay? I'm not saying that you don't want what you want, you don't deserve what you want, but kindness, you can never lose. You will never, ever lose with kindness. People will see your kindness. Some people will not appreciate your kindness. Not that they don't see it. But they will look upon you and say, I wish I could be that steadfast in kindness. But right now, brother, I got to get mine. You're going to find those kind of people. But do not become like other people. So I want to introduce, I'm going to say introduce you is not a, so much a new word, but in the Quran, people have asked me about this before. In the Quran, Allah says that you are be apes. Let me maybe quickly turn to one of the things. Allah says that He said to them, be you apes, despised and rejected. Okay? Then He says in another place, that was in 65. There's another place in the Quran, I'm going to give you these things, and then another place is chapter 5, verse 60. Says, and those of whom some he transformed into apes and swine, those worshipped evil. Okay. Let me say this here, because people have asked, they say, well, did God turn people into apes? No. Not physically, you know. So here's my point. There's a term called aping, you know, being an ape. Okay. Meaning this, that we imitate monkeys. They imitate. They don't have the consciousness to come up with their own thing. They only imitate others. Okay. No matter how much you give to them, no matter much information they have, they can't never seem to use it to do anything with. Monkeys just imitate. Okay. So, I'm saying this on two levels, that we do not want to become apes, but there will be other people who will be aping you. They will become imitators of you, mimic you, okay? Because they don't know how to be kind until they see your level of kindness. So people need examples for them to use to, and I say improve their life, but just like the ape, it doesn't really improve it. They just know how to imitate it. So it never becomes their heartfelt thing. They just know what kindness looks like. So they look at you and they say, or they don't say, but they are just aping you, okay, imitating you, mimicking you. Because kindness has escaped them. You know people. I'm sure you probably met people. They don't know how to be kind. They don't know what kindness is. Until they see you practicing kindness. They don't know what being their brother keeper is until they see you being your brother's keeper. Now, like I say, right now in the middle of this crisis, the Haiti crisis, people are sitting around scheming on how they're going to steal your money to keep it from those people. See? Kindness escapes them. Being their brother keeper escapes them. They just see evil in this situation. Okay? We talked about intentions a little earlier. And Allah says in there, he says, they will indeed swear that their intention is nothing but good, but Allah does declare that they are certainly liars. We have people right now who swear that their intent is good, but they're prepared to steal money from the baby, from the mouths of people who really need it. So I'm asking you, we need examples in this world so that other people who don't have the humanness inside of them to do it on their own, to know what it looks like, allow them to ape you, to be aping, to mimic you. They need examples, so I'm asking you to extend kindness to even people who you may not even perceive that they deserve. Why? Because they're apes. They're apes. Okay? They're uncouth. They're gross. They're gross people. You see them. You say to yourself, I wouldn't want to have nothing to do with this person. They're like apes. Allah says, be apes, rejected and despised. People reject them. Okay? The only way they're going to be able to improve their lives, to improve their standing, is that they see someone else doing something of good so that they can mimic it, that they can imitate it. But their level of humanness, their level of arrogance has risen to such a level that they have lost all touch with their spiritual reality. So, I'm asking you, forgive me, I'm putting this, where it kind of dropped in my mind right now. You know, so you go before the monkey cage, and so you have to, you know, we like going before the monkey cage, and we do little things so the monkey imitates us. Well, I'm asking you, don't tease the monkey. Teach the monkey so that the monkey becomes a better monkey. They're always going to be a monkey, probably, but at least they become a better monkey because they have something to imitate of good. You are their connection to good. Other than that, they cannot find goodness. They cannot find good intentions. They don't know how to use self-determination. They don't know how to use knowledge. You can teach a monkey can pick up a spoon and put it to his mouth. But you leave the monkey long enough away, he's going to go back to eating with his hands, his feet, or whatever. Okay? They can only mimic it for so long. So the more of us who become examples to others, the more they have the opportunity to escape their apeness. Allah said to them, be you apes and despised, rejected and despised, because they broke the spiritual laws. They rejected Allah. They rejected you because you are a believer in God. You accept the higher power. So they rejected you. So they lost a piece of them. As Prophet Muhammad says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, may God's peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad said, if there is a piece, there's a piece of flesh in you that when it is diseased, the whole body is diseased. And when it is healthy, the whole body is healthy. Speaking of the heart or the soul. Okay? So some people, their souls are diseased. In some ways, they can't help it, but they can help it. But they've been this way for so long, they can't help it. This is the only way they know. All they know is the ape way. Okay? You see them just like an ape. An ape is a... the morals and values in ape community isn't the big thing. So you see people who their moral values have taken a dip. We have to be kind. We have to show kindness even to the ape. Okay? Allah even says, even the swine. The swine is a filthy animal. We must be able to show them that there's a clean way to act in life. People are like this. Not meaning physically. Physically, they're not apes. And physically, they're not swines. But their behavior, their character. So we're saying here in this last tool of success is do not allow people to pull you into their behavior. When you recognize an ape, just mimic for the ape. This is how the ape learns. Mimic for them the behavior that you want for them. It's like today we say we do, people do coaching. Maybe call what I do, coaching. Okay? We're trying to mimic for people. We're trying to bring out of the person that which will help them and benefit them. And if they can practice it long enough, they may, it may become a trait or a habit for them. So this is kind of, so what I'm asking you out of all of these things, be kind. Show kindness to your brother and your sister. Even when you don't think kindness, they are deserving of kindness. Be kind to them because they may learn to mimic you. They may learn from you, and some people are just a surface below. When they see you, they understand it, and they break totally free of their aping. They're no longer an ape. They become, at the soul of them, they become human. So as Nelson Mandela said, by you liberating yourself, you automatically give other people permission to do the same. So when you free yourself, when you come to, and your elevation, your metamorphosis, from the caterpillar to the cocoon to the butterfly, you encourage other people to take the road to Jericho. Even though this road is difficult, this road may have thieves all lined up on it. They have people who want to harm you. Yet people say, you know what? Brother Thomas made it. I think I'm going to try to take the road to Jericho. I want to be successful too in 2010. I'm not going to wait on 2011, let alone 2015. I'm going to be successful now, and it is my intent, my pure, honest intent, meaning I'm going to take action. I'm going to get committed. I'm going to determine and prioritize my goals. I'm going to assess my flaws. I'm going to understand the benefit in which I intend to achieve from this thing, and I'm going to apply self-determination. And all along the way, I'm going to be like the Good Samaritan. I'm going to show kindness. If I run across someone on the road to Jericho who is uncouth, who is clumsy, gross, I'm going to show them kindness. I'm going to say to them, peace. Peace. Okay? Assalamu alaikum. May God's peace be upon you. They say back to me, I don't give a damn about that. I say, assalamu alaikum. May God's peace be upon you. I want for you what I want for myself, but you've been stuck out here on the road of Jericho for so long that you have lost sight of your humanness. You've lost sight of your purpose. You are now have misguided intentions, just like the basketball player who pulled the gun in the locker room. He said, my intentions were misguided. You've been out on the road of Jericho too long. It's a rough place, and it can break you down. It can itself bring destruction to you. But the Good Samaritan, he came along and he said, I'm going to be an example to the other people on the road to Jericho. Okay? I'm going to show kindness, as Martin Luther King said. He said, the man, this Good Samaritan, asked the question, He said, everybody else who came along the road, they asked the question, what's going to happen to me if I go to this man's aid? Harm may come to me. But the Good Samaritan turned the question around, as Martin Luther King put it. He said, what will happen to this man if I don't stop to help? Kindness. I must show kindness even in the situation that may bring me death. It may bring me harm. But kindness is the divine tool of success. So who is remembered? How many other people passed along that road? Do you know their names? You don't know their names, do you? The only name you know is the Good Samaritan. Why? Because he was not aping. He was not an ape. He was not a swine. He had high morals, high values, pure intentions, good self-determination. He understood, he applied the tools of success, of knowledge, of self-worth, of struggle. He had already forgiven himself for repentance. He had a good consciousness about himself. Okay? Might even say, did you probably use a little lightheartedness? Might have to joke a little bit and say, you know, how did I get this man out of this situation? But he took action. He didn't walk by and say, only me. I will protect only me in this situation. He took action. He wasn't content with that man's situation, even though he was content in himself, but his contentment said, I will not leave this man to these thieves. Because I have a relationship with this individual, and my self-worth is determined by my relationships and me being my brother's keeper. These are the tools. Therefore, his intentions were automatically purified because he had the correct understanding of his own self. And he made a conscious choice, self-determination, to go to this man's aid. Even though he understood that he had a willpower and there was a willpower over his, he didn't know whether death was going to come to him or success. But he was on the road to Jericho, and he was not arrogant enough. He was not arrogant to the point that he was going to leave this man to the devices of these other apes on the road to Jericho. Please, show kindness. Show kindness in the things that you do. Even though you're on your way to success, do not make success, your physical, your earthly success, more important than your heavenly success. The Good Samaritan, he knew where success really lies. As Martin Luther King again said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. The Good Samaritan understood that. He knew that he couldn't predict the future. I can't tell you whether I'm going to be successful or unsuccessful, but I am on the road to Jericho. And whatever I meet along the road to Jericho may test me at my human level. And if I don't make it, if I don't succeed in the tests, I too may be turned into an ape and become a thing rejected and despised. But this Good Samaritan was not. Again, how many people came along that road and saw these people being assaulted, saw these thieves waiting? They themselves might have was assaulted. They might have left somebody else in the lurch. They buddy. Got assaulted. They got assaulted together, but they got out, and they kept on going. You don't remember any of their names. None of their names is mentioned in the Bible, is it? No. Only the Good Samaritan. That's who we know. So here is our example. No matter where you're headed, no matter what is going on, show kindness. Extend kindness to yourself and to your brother, to yourself and your sister. Haiti right now is in need of our kindness. They are in need for us to come to their aid. And we can turn away. We can say, oh, no, 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 no. That's the road to Jericho. I've been on this road too long. I got these few dollars in my hand. You cannot have them. I refuse to give them up to you. You can do that. But you may become an ape, rejected and despised. So the only way out is for you to see other people. And you will only be able to imitate and mimic them for a certain while. And when they leave your presence or the situation goes so far, then after a while you return back to your apeness. Uncouth. Gross. Clumsy. Messy. Always, got nothing good to say. Okay, you know? There's a story, I'm not sure I got it correctly in my mind, but you know, I don't have it in my mind enough to bring it forward, but I'll get it at another time. But the point is, you know, the signifying monkey, that's what they say, the signifying monkey, you know? I mean, we use these terminologies, these animals, you know, sometimes we say, brother, you just like that brother just like a snake. Okay? Or, you know, man, they just like a cow. You know, they just wander. You know, they people say, you know, until the cows come home. Because cows, they wander so much. They have no level of consciousness. They can't find their way back home. Or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. People say that about people. See what I'm saying is, animals have certain characteristics which we have looked at and then we use to describe human characteristics. All right? Some people say we're wise as the owl. Okay? Kindness. Please. Exert kindness at every level of your life. Keep it as a tool. No matter what happens, show kindness. Show kindness. Give your brother and your sister the benefit of the doubt. Do not, again, even when wronged, or you wrong someone else, make sure that you go and show kindness. Show repentance and say, what happened, happened. My intention got misguided. I have flaws in myself, but I'm not going to use your anger with me for me to mistreat you. I'm going to show kindness at every step of the term, the state, and that may mean that I have to take some things from people that I don't like. But because of the situation, I must submit and allow them to take sort of their revenge out on me. That's right. Sometimes we have to say to people, this is going to help my brother or my sister. They're going to be better off when they take their revenge against me. It's going to cleanse them. It's going to help repent, give them repentance. So I have to sometimes submit to the punishment of others out of kindness to myself and them, because it is the only way to purify the situation. Maybe rough medicine, but I guarantee you, been there, done that, okay? Been there, done that. I wouldn't give you any medicine that I haven't taken on my own self, and already have determined that it has some. It may not taste good. Tell you that right now. It don't taste good. But once you get it down, drink some water behind it, chase it down, you'll be okay. But kindness must be a tool for success at all junctures of our life. Okay? I am Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace, and we always again want to welcome and appreciate you for spending time with us here at American Muslim 360, where we try, and even as I'm talking about the things I'm talking about, I'm coming from an Islamic base. I'm trying to explain to you Islam in plain English. I may not always have to say Islam. I don't have to always say Allah. I don't have to always say Quran. It's right there. I use the example of the Good Samaritan from the Bible. But know that I'm giving you a principle, a value of, or should be, of Muslims. And in some cases, we are giving you, or say try to give you, information in a term, in a way that it's, say, palatable, it's tasteful, it's good for you. I don't try to be like, and I say I'm not trying to criticize other Muslims and so forth, but I'm not trying to jam Islam down your throat. I'm not trying to jam Allah down your throat. I'm not here to debate. There's people who want to debate. I'm not a debater about Islam. I'm just trying to explain it in the best terminology and from my own, let's say, heartfelt understanding of it. I'm trying to give it to you as I have it and as I practice it. This is from me, so I'm not calling people to say, oh, you know, and I don't present myself to you as an imam or anybody of authority. I only present myself to you as the twin servant of peace. That's all I am. That's all, inshallah, I'm striving to be, is a twin servant of peace. And that is a big job all within itself, and it takes all of my energy just to do that. So when I come here, it's part of an extension of who I say I am, who my intentions are, and I give you sort of that handle as a definition of myself. So Islam for me is, I guess, sort of is a way of life. It's not just religion in the sense that I worship, I go to Juma, today being Juma. Today I also want to remind you that Imam Fahim Shawaid will be giving the khutbah here today. We'll be broadcasting Juma out of Oakland, California today here around 12 o'clock noontime. He may not start until about 12:30, but know that we will be broadcasting the Juma out of Oakland, California today. And inshallah, on January the 29th, we hope to broadcast the Juma out of Dallas, Texas, from Masjid al-Islam out of Dallas, Texas. But my point was is this, that all I'm presenting to you is just, I say straight up, Thomas Abdul Salam, as he has come to know and growing in the religion, and again, religion not in the sense of just going to Juma, going to prayer, going to those things, giving the zakat, making the fast. This is how I live. This is how I've interpreted, how I've cultivated the religion inside of me. And it is the best way, and the only way that I can give it back to you is to quote me and not quote sheikhs and other people. I do from time to time, and we are going to have one day a week, inshallah, dedicated to the teachings of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, because it is a person that I've learned a lot from, and I respect his way of presenting it and his thinking, and so my thinking sometimes reflects those things, but I also have a level of autonomy that, you know, again, let's say it this way. Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, he found caterpillars. He encouraged caterpillars to become butterflies, meaning that the butterfly finds its own way. Again, its DNA is very different, as a matter of fact, totally different and opposite that of the caterpillar. So we should use people's information to grow ourselves, not to become submissive and followers of other people to the point that all we can do is mimic what someone else said. I don't think that's even a good representation or me being respectful to Imam Warfuddin Muhammad for me to just be mimicking what he said, and there's no growth in me as an individual where I begin to take on a life of my own. So we can only be students of Emmanuel Fadim Muhammad only for so long. You know, and eventually the student must become a teacher. So I'm encouraging you to don't be a student all your life. Become a teacher. Become one who offers up to other individuals your what you think. Don't be afraid of what you think. It's what you think. This is your interpretation. Because the God of Allah is going to judge you on it one day anyway. So you might as well be honest in this life. So that's what I've done. I've given you this week 12 tools of success. Practice them next week. We're going to talk about 12 unproductive behaviors or actions or thoughts, processes that you should not have. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam, the Twin Servant of Peace. We're going to be ending our show right here. We're going to have to end a couple of minutes early because I have to run out and pick up my grandson. And so it requires for me to get off the air about 10 minutes early. So we want to thank you and welcome you. Please come back for the Jumu'ah today. The call number is as it is, 646-716-4478. Or come to blogtalkradio.com/AmericanMuslim360. And you'll be able to hear the Jumu'ah, inshallah, about 12 o'clock today. So by all means, we hope to see you back. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam, the Twin Servant of Peace. And we wish you a Jumu'ah Mubarak.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Praise be to Allah, the cherished sustainer of the worlds.
Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Most gracious, most merciful.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Master of the Day of Judgment.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
You do we worship and your aid do we seek.
Ihdina as-siratal mustaqim.
Show us the straight way.
صراط الذين أنعمت
The way of those whom you have bestowed with your grace
عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Those whose portion is not wrath and those who go not astray. Amen.
الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال
السلام عليكم This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast